Chapter 18. Steve Hahn. Meeting women had been Steve Hahn's main but very elusive life challenge. Given the mostly male climate where he worked at Visiozyme, plus his crazy hours, he found it nearly impossible to have a social life. The only thing left was online dating, which proved fruitless. Realizing that his romantic future was hopeless, he had given that up too. But now, a month later, he wrapped his arms around Lily from behind as she selected a bottle from her temperature-controlled wine vault. He held her as close as a teddy bear while burying his face in her shiny black mane, inhaling her spicy scent. He inched his hands up and felt her breasts, warm under her cashmere sweater. The novelty of holding her was heady, not something that Lily had allowed. The move felt empowering and daring, but he didn't care anymore about her rules. He had needs, too. It was time that he laid down some rules of his own. Lily froze, gently extricating herself as she slowly turned around. Her red dagger nails were wrapped around the bottle of white wine that she had chosen. She nodded towards the table in the kitchen, as if she wished he'd stop touching her and just get on with it. "There's sushi waiting. Here, open this," she said coldly, handing Hahn the bottle. "Anything for you, my lady." He took it to a counter where Lily had already laid out a corkscrew. Even though he had been living there for a month, he still didn't know where anything was. He fumbled around with it, finally succeeding in removing the cork, and poured wine into two elegant stemware glasses that Lily had set out. Well, unlike his own wine glasses that he had bought at Target, the crystal was top-notch, like every detail in her house. He handed her a glass and raised his in a toast. "To a new phase!" She eyed him with suspicion and clinked his glass before taking a swallow. Well, since the first night that he had been with Lily, everything in his life had become weird and wild, starting with food. The cupboards were filled with exotic Asian ingredients. Not that Lily ever cooked. It had been one Asian takeout meal after another. He had grown tired of eating cold leftovers out of little white boxes for breakfast and began stopping at Starbucks for a coffee and muffin on the way to work. Lunch was easier, since Visiozyme's lunchroom offered him some sense of normalcy. Hamburgers and fries in the lunchroom were about the only thing that tied him to his prior life. Hamburgers and work. He had never dreamt that his life could be so crazy. It had started with Fox nosing around, wanting to build a nasty virus. Hahn had no taste for killing people. He was just a project manager and programmer. But Fox had pressured him, promising him a management position with a hefty check if he cooperated. For starters, the delivery of a pink slip if he refused. Hahn was sure this virus thing would never be deployed, so what the hell? The cash was going to make a healthy down payment on a sweet little condo he had been eyeing in Cambridge. Only a few days later, Lily, the smoking hot Chinese wife of the CEO, bumped into him in the lobby on her way to a shareholders meeting, spilling his coffee all over his new ski jacket. The next day, a replacement jacket, more tasteful and expensive, arrived in his office. There was a card. "Sorry about your jacket. I hope this makes it up to you. I'm going through a divorce and am very lonely. Come to dinner tonight? Lily." She had included her address on the bottom, of course. She could spill anything she liked on him. Who was Steve to deny her a little company? This was like a pot of sunshine lighting up his office. He was in a good mood all day, even being civil to his office mate, Simon, the nerdy twerp who was helping him with some code. Well, why not? Why shouldn't he have a date? He was a nice enough-looking guy. He imagined the series of romantic dinners, ski trips to Vermont, and of course, lots of hot sex that would ensue. In anticipation of the date, he stopped home after work and changed from his usual blue jeans and polo shirt into a cotton button-down shirt and sweater with khakis. Then he stopped at the corner wine shop and picked up a bottle of Cabernet before driving his Jeep out to Newton, singing oldies with the radio. When Steve found the large Tudor house, he parked in front and checked himself in the mirror in the pull-down visor. He combed his brown hair out of his chestnut-colored eyes that seemed to be sparkling. He ambled up the walk and rang the doorbell. It wasn't the usual place on the door frame, but had been installed as one of the eyes of the carved relief wooden dragons on Lily's front door. It glowed bright red until he pressed it. Then it turned black. As an added bonus, the dragon emitted steam from its mouth in short, panting bursts as he waited. Lily answered the door, wearing knee-high stiletto boots, a spiked leather neckband, and nothing else except for the huge, orange, long-haired cat that was snuggled against her body. Lily's hair hung like a glossy black cloak around her shoulders. She kissed the cat's head. "Hello," she said, cocking her head and giving him an I-dare-you stare with her almond-shaped black eyes. "Hi," he answered, hardly finding his voice. She was gorgeous. Lily was probably in her mid to late 30s, but from what he could see around the edges of her hair and the cat that she used to almost cover herself, she had the body of a 20-year-old nymph. She took his hand and pulled him inside. Her long hair shifted like a sheet of black satin when she moved. She put the wine on the table by the door. "For later," she said. "This is Wang Li." She held out the cat to say hello to him, exposing her body from where he had been shielding her. The cat's green eyes glowed with secrets. "Wang Li means beautiful," she added, rubbing the cat's belly. Han was more interested in Lily's pink nipples that peeked out than the cat. "You like her?" she asked, kissing her orange fur. "I got her when I came to this country. She brings me luck. Follow me now." The house was surprisingly modern inside, as if it had been recently renovated. She led him down a hallway with slick white walls and white marble floor and up a white spiral staircase. At the top was a room that must have been built over a garage. It was painted blood red and lit by flickering candles held by golden wall sconces. The floor was carpeted in a fiery red shag. Hanging metal gadgets filled the space and reminded him of a cross between a gym and a bordello. "You won't be needing your clothes," she said. "Leave them over there. I don't like clutter." She pointed to a closet. "Okie dokie," he said. Things were definitely looking up. He slowly stripped and hung his things on the hooks inside. "You like my new room?" She set Wang Li on the floor. The cat hopped up on the windowsill, but instead of turning to watch the birds out the window, she sat expectantly as if a show were about to begin, flattening her ears in anticipation. "I guess," once Steve looked around and took a good look at the equipment, he wondered if it was too late for him to leave. This wasn't at all the evening that he'd imagined. Lily saw his gaze and locked the door. "I built this when my husband left. He was so weak. I couldn't wait to get rid of him. I don't like weak men. He disgusted me. You know him, right? He's the CEO of your company, so you should." "Yes, I met him once or twice. Seemed like a nice guy." She removed a whip from the wall and appraised him, poking at his biceps and his abs. "Not bad. You're not a bad-looking man. You have a good body, strong. I have two rules. Number one, no kissing. Number two, you do what I say. You agree?" Steve gulped. "What if I don't agree? This isn't exactly what I had in mind." "What? You thought I would be a sweet little girlfriend like they have here in America? No power? Men are crazy." "I am strong. I think you might like this after all." She pointed at Steve's fully erect penis. Embarrassed, he covered himself with his hands as if he was Adam running from the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Lily walked over and removed his grip. "Here, allow me." She stroked him, and despite himself, Steve let out a groan. He reached out his hand and to touch her breast, and she slapped his face. "Do not be so fresh. You may not touch me unless I say so." Steve moaned and rubbed his stinging cheek. "Trust me, you need this attitude adjustment." Lily led him to the hanging handcuffs a few feet away and cuffed his wrists. She paced behind him for a few moments and then gave him a painful lash with the whip. "This is to teach you manners." Steve winced and bit his lip. He wouldn't give her the satisfaction of knowing how much it hurt him. Lily stood in front of him and traced a line down her abdomen with her red fingernail and then slipped it between her legs. She began to delicately rub herself. "I don't need a man for sex. I can do it better anyway. You just watch." As she became more excited, she reached out and stroked him. Steve was shocked when they both came at the same time, since he hadn't even touched her. Lily unlocked his handcuffs. "Go clean yourself. There's a bathroom around the corner." She sounded disgusted with him. Wang Li stared at Steve as if waiting for him to move. Steve retrieved his clothes from the closet on his way. In the bathroom, he felt dizzy and disoriented from what had just happened. He was happy to see that there was a lock on the door and a large glass-enclosed shower. He wanted to be alone to process what had occurred. He locked the door, stepped in the shower, and let the warm water beat on his back until the room was filled with fog. As he dressed, he felt intoxicated, as if the gates to a bizarre new world had just opened. He was pretty sure that he wanted to travel through those gates. Lily would be his guide. She certainly had his attention. 3 days later, after seeing her every night, he moved in. A month later, he still had a lot of questions. First was, why had he let Lily humiliate him the way that she did? He was a guy who had always been in control. Now he'd been reduced to a slobbering idiot around her and followed her around like an obedient dog. He had already had one appointment with Dr. Emery, his old therapist. He'd called her for an emergency session from his office. If she was shocked by Steve's story, it didn't show. She was trying to get him to figure out why Lily had him under her spell and hinted that it had been something to do with his controlling mother, but he wasn't buying it. His other question was why Lily knew about his virus project with Jerry Fox. Lily hadn't talked about the virus until just an hour before, when she'd cuffed Steve in the blood-red room. "I know what you're working on with Fox. He told me all about it," she said, circling him like a caged tiger waiting for meat. "So?" Steve tried to sound nonchalant. She took the whip off its hook on the wall and swung it. Its terrifying whoosh froze him in anticipation of pain before it bit his back with a cracking lash. Steve grimaced and groaned. "No attitude from you. You want more?" He didn't answer. Lily strutted in front of him and set one of her legs up on the patent leather red weight lifting bench to her side. She was wearing her red stilettos with gold buckles all the way to her knees, and only a red silk scarf wrapped around her neck. Steve had learned that she had matching boots and neck gear in every color, and he'd begun to gauge her mood according to the color of the day. Red was definitely not good. "Today, no sex unless you're a very good boy." "And what must I do to be a good boy?" He could live without sex with her. After a month of Lily's boots, he could use a little vacation. Even Wang Li was bored and was watching the birds outside the window. "I gave Fox a space for his lab, and I deserve part of his product. I already removed it from the lab. It was on my property after all, so I own it. I want to use against my no-good ex-husband. You need to tell me how it works." "And why would I do that, Lily? You have no idea what you're getting into."
"Okay, I will tell you. I need you to help me, or I'll release it and blame it on my ex unless he gives me the shares from Visiozyme that I'm entitled to. Your fucking courts here are ridiculous. I get no satisfaction, so I must handle this myself. I have to handle everything myself."
Steve just stared at her. "This virus can hurt a lot of people. You can't just release it at your will."
"Oh?
And what is it that you and Fox were going to do? Why did you even build it, if it's so terrible?"
"It was a mistake. Fox hired me as a project manager to help him build it, if you must know. I never thought that it would really be an actual threat. It's like the atom bomb. Just because you have it doesn't mean that you're going to go around and drop it on people."
"Now that we have it, I don't care. It can make me the queen of the world if I want, and my no-good ex-husband will be very sorry that he ever crossed me." She was crazier than he thought. He was in no position to refuse her anything until he was up and dressed. Then he would see.
anything you want, Lily. That's my good boy. I knew that you would listen. Today, as a special reward, I will let you kiss me. Still locked into his cuffs, Steve obediently leaned towards her. She stepped off the bench and stood in front of him to kiss his mouth. Her lips were inflexible and stone cold. The kiss was the worst he'd ever had. Then Lily went through her usual routine, but Steve just couldn't get aroused. I think you are weak, just like my ex-husband. You men are all the same in the end. Steve shrugged. Sorry, I'm just a bit tired. I will let this go today. We will see how things are tomorrow. We will have some dinner downstairs, and then I must do some work. In the bathroom, he removed a bag of Oreo cookies that he had packed in his duffel. He had taken to packing cookies, since Lily never had anything to snack on, and he was always hungry after one of their sessions. He opened the first cookie and scraped the frosting off with his teeth. Suddenly, he realized that it was just after he had agreed to work on the project with Fox when Lily had spilled the coffee on him. It probably was not an accident. Why would Fox tell her about their project? Then it hit him. He should have been paying more attention. Based on the name of the virus, she had had her spin with him first. It figured Fox had probably named the virus after Lily's deadly nature. But Fox had been smart enough to not succumb to Lily's dominance. Steve chided himself for being so stupid. After he showered, he returned to his room and packed a few of his clothes in his backpack, which he would take to work in the morning. He would forfeit the rest. He would not be coming back. He was unsure of how he would meet women in the future, but he didn't care.